Time for our next episode in the terrific podcast series, Brain on Nature. And today, Sarah, who is at the centre of this entire series, finally gets a diagnosis about her brain. It's been 6 weeks since her cycling accident, and listen up, because in a couple of minutes, Sarah's going to give you and me a little brain test that you can do at home. Here's Sarah Allerley.
Over my MRI scans at St. Vincent's Brain Injury Clinic. Before I see the specialist, his registrar asks me 100 questions. He encourages me to just accept my situation. Accept that I have what they're calling a mild traumatic brain injury. He explains that when my brain struggles with a task and a headache arrives, if my reaction is to go frustrated, stressed, upset, and anxious, I'll make the headaches worse. I have to overhaul my attitude to this whole thing. I'm already seeing a neurologist. Now I see brain injury rehab specialist Dr. Stuart Brown. He has more tests. Later on, I interview him in his rooms.
When I first came to see you, you guys did some more extensive tests, sort of comprehension type tests. And there was one that it was quite noticeable that I didn't do so well on. The test was where you have to name like words
beginning with a letter of the alphabet, for example.
Yeah, and they're not allowed to be, what is it? They're not allowed to be something.
So proper nouns. Yeah. Typically, it just has to be.
And I really struggled with that. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, this is really weird that I can't do this. Why is this so hard?
So my memory actually of your cognitive screening that we did was that you generally did very well, quite well. But in traumatic brain injury, we tend to see in some of this simple cognitive testing a few areas that people do worse than expected. And one of them is that particular test, the ability to come up with words that fit a particular structure. So the person is given a letter of the alphabet and they have to say in a minute as many words as they can that don't have proper noun, that aren't proper nouns.
Proper nouns are people and places, etc. The ones that need capital letters. That's in case you're part of my generation that wasn't taught grammar. Anyway, let's give this test a go now. I'm going to set the timer for a minute. See how many words you can think of that start with the letter A. Remember, they mustn't require capital letters. Count them out on your fingers. Okay, go. How did you go? I can't tell you exactly if your score fits in the normal range because it depends on a few different things about you. But if you finished high school and you're between 25 and 50 years old, the average number of words you should have come up with is 15. I fit into that group and I only got a handful of words.
And we think of that as being particularly a frontal lobe skill. And so the frontal lobes in traumatic brain injury tend to cop a bit of the injury out of proportion to perhaps other areas of the brain. And so it's very common that we see people with frontal lobe difficulties, and the typical things that the frontal lobes do, they provide that the frontal lobes are important for our ability to multitask, to concentrate, to respond to feedback, to inhibit our behaviour, so to know when to not do a particular behaviour. And one of the aspects of this test of generating words is that we think it is a frontal lobe skill. So if people have difficulties in that area, we're thinking that the traumatic brain injury may be impacting on the frontal lobe function. It's subtle. The frontal lobes are an important part of our independence, of our thinking ability, of our ability to work and live complex lives. And it is the frontal lobes that are also injured more frequently than other parts of the brain.
The results of this word test point to which part of my brain's injured. Turns out it's not the part of my head that hit the road.
It is very common that people who fall and hit the back of their head may have superficial injuries over the back of their head and indeed often fracture the skull at the back, but it's the front part of the brain that receives the greatest injury. And that's because just of mechanics, the brain effectively bounces forward at the time of the strike and damages the inner surface of the front part of the brain. Ironically, however, if you get hit at the front part of your face, it's still the front part of the brain that cops the greater part of the injury. So that's why we commonly see frontal lobe problems.
You might think this diagnosis would drown my spirits, but part of Dr. Brown's treatment seems to be positivity and confidence. He expects a full recovery. I just need to accept.
One thing that we look at in traumatic brain injury rehab is we're looking at markers that might give us some indication of how much the brain has been injured. And it's not necessarily looking at a scan of the brain, although that is helpful. You can actually have a pretty good, if not almost normal-looking scan, and yet be really having functional difficulties. And then the opposite, you can have a brain that's got a lot of acute blood in it. The neurosurgeons may need to go in and actually remove the blood, and there can be other complications from that, but nonetheless the person functions quite well. We look at how long someone's unconscious, both at the scene but also what happens when they're in the emergency department. And we also look at another important thing, and that is the length of time that someone has memory or confusion after their trauma. And that is a very powerful predictor of how someone ultimately recovers. And I was pleased to see in your situation that it was a brief period of time. It was an hour or so.
Nothing comes up on the MRI, but they can diagnose my brain injury clinically from consults instead of physical tests. This is actually a huge relief. I've been released from the fear of the unknown. This is how my neurologist, Dr. Ron Granite, explains it.
After any brain injury, we struggle at the moment in terms of demonstrating things physically from MRI scans and so on. And your MRI was completely normal. There was no bleeding. There was no areas of damage visible. But if we looked at it under a microscope, we would find that there are some changes there of injury. Nerves are cut. And that takes a long time for nerve cells to regrow, rewire, to get you back to where you were. There are new tests starting to be available, and I think one's probably just been approved by the FDA in America, where you can do a blood test to estimate the quantity of brain damaged in a head injury. And wow, they're thinking of using those to manage concussion as well as accidents and things like that, to tell who will have a better outcome, who will have a worse outcome in terms of overall estimate of damage to brain tissue.
So do you think if I had done one of those, something would have shown up?
Probably.
Oh, that's so interesting.
The MRI itself is not at this stage strong enough to be able to see those microscopic changes. The standard MRI these days is double the strength of about 10 years ago. They can find out more microscopic level detail because the pictures are better. But You have to do a different MRI that's very, very difficult to get hold of, and that may show more.
I've been told to slow down. I literally slow my fast walking pace right down. I start noticing people's gardens on my way to physio in Marrickville. Instead of making it a brisk 15-minute walk along main roads, I take 25 and explore leafy back streets. I check out the impressive veggie gardens and the front yards of Lebanese and Greek families. I notice one guy cuts his parsley right back to leave just a few stems. He assures me it'll grow back soon. He's right. I soon notice the parsley has grown back. I spot big pomegranate trees full of fruit. This older Lebanese couple don't offer me any pomegranates, but they explain something's not right with the fruit or the weather. They offer me a cutting to take home and plant. So I slow down, but my diary fills up. Not with work and kids' activities and friends. It's a full-time job just getting better. Physio three times a week, appointments with my GP, neurologist, brain injury rehab specialist, shoulder surgeon, occupational therapist, and soon I'll be adding a few psychologists. I kept a record of my headaches, something I continued to do for nearly 3 years. Mostly it's just times and events, what I was doing before the headache came on. But today, it's 2 months after I was hit, and I excitedly report lots of improvement.
I gradually increase activities, mostly staying below headache threshold. I read the school newsletter.
I use my laptop to pay bills,
look at statements,
manage to read short, simple stories to Emerald.
I can cope with background music now.
These are pretty big accomplishments. I feel like I'm testing the boundaries. I'm sometimes going over my threshold, but it's a start. I've still got a long way to go.
And tell me, how many words did you get on the brain test? It's all right, you don't have to text them in. I don't mind. Brain on Nature is an independent podcast produced by Sarah Allerley, who is the subject of this podcast series as well. Olivia Rosenman co-produced with sound design by Ariana Martinez. And the song is written for Brain on Nature by Jonathan Zenti. It's all about the bike crash and Sarah's recovery. And if you've missed any of this first week of episodes on Brain on Nature, you can find them all on the ABC Listen app or also on the RN Life Matters website. You can binge away, and then next Monday, Sarah meets a woman who's also injured her brain playing lacrosse, but was able to treat her symptoms by spending time in nature.